Well, this evening we get to part three, and that is Christ in Exodus. And we're going to take a journey tonight, a very exciting journey, to see Jesus Christ in Exodus. In fact, there are three main divisions of the book. And I'd like to just show you Jesus Christ in these three. The first 18 chapters talk about what we traditionally call the Exodus. Now, let me just point out to you how rich this section is. First of all, we'll see that Jesus Christ is the voice in the burning bush. And we're going to examine that because in the burning bush, Jesus Christ made that great statement, that identifying statement, which he quotes in, later on in John 8:58, I am that I am. He says, I am the eternal, self-existent God. Secondly, we'll see in this section the Passover. Jesus Christ is our Passover, the Apostle Paul says. Thirdly, we'll see that Jesus Christ is our unleavened bread. Again, in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul goes to great lengths to tell us our Christian life should be a progressive purging out of leaven. Leaven is always a picture in the Bible of sin. And sin, like yeast, grows. When you leave it alone, it feeds and grows and multiplies and expands. And that's what's going on in our lives. And so our lives should be a constant putting to death and purging out and getting rid of the old leaven of sin. Remember, I shared with you the fact that leaven, in the sense of the Exodus, is the piece of the old bread from the last batch. And you just... And my wife makes bread, and if we didn't have yeast to buy in the store, it would be traditional to reach down in the bowl and pinch out some of that dough, throw it in some water on the back of your stove where it's warm, and let that ferment and begin a culture of yeast for the next batch of dough. That's why God said, when you leave Egypt, don't take any leaven. Don't take a piece of the old. And that's a picture of our salvation. Don't cling. Don't hold on to. Don't bring into your new life in Christ all that junk from the old life. There should be a clear severing, repenting, turning from, and mortifying of all that. And that's what we'll see in our study of unleavened bread. Also, Jesus is the rock that led them. He was the one, as it says in 1 Corinthians 10:3, he was that rock. He was the rock that they were to follow. And he is the one through the pillar of fire and through the pillar of cloud during the day and the fire at night that led them. And Paul says that rock was Christ. That makes us go back to Exodus and see him there, and we're going to study that. Next, he is the manna, and we'll look at that as in depth. That's such a picture of Christ. And also, he is the water from the rock. Do you remember at Rephidim, they were moaning and complaining and dying of thirst, and God told Moses to go and to take his rod and to what? Strike the rock. And when the rock was struck, in Exodus 17, water, life-giving water came out. Now, in Numbers chapter 20, God again tells him to bring water from the rock, but this time he was supposed to what? Speak. And the water was to come out and flow down from the rock. But Moses grabbed Aaron's rod and hit the rock. And that's why he didn't go in the promised land. But I'm not going to tell you that story until we get to Numbers, because it's such a picture. The second meeting with the rock was to be a picture of the Holy Spirit. We don't need to smack Christ on the cross with the penalty and payment for sin to get his blessing. All we do is speak and ask for it. And it's such a picture we'll see in Numbers, the water from the rock. And finally, the tabernacle in chapter 25 through 40 of Exodus. By the way, the tabernacle is the most completely described theme or topic in all the Bible. There's no other topic in the Bible so profusely described as the tabernacle. Nothing. Those chapters in extreme detail tell us about that, because it's about Christ. Then in the middle of the book, we find Christ in the law. That's from chapters 19 to 24. What is that? Paul tells us that the law was the schoolmaster to lead us to Christ. And we're going to see that the law is meant to show us our inability to keep it, to show us our futility of trying to be righteous through the law and in our own power. And so the law is a schoolmaster. Now, we are no longer bound by the ceremonial law. Yet all Scripture, even that, is profitable and shows us doctrine, what's right, reproof, what is wrong, for correction, how for our lives to get right, and for instruction, excuse me, in righteousness, which is how to stay right and how to keep following the Lord. The last section, which we'll spend a long time on, is Christ in the tabernacle. And basically, it says in John 1:14 that Jesus Christ shall come, tabernacled among us. And there is no more beautiful, no more graphic, no more powerful picture. Just for an example, the four colors of the tabernacle: white, purple, scarlet, blue. There's no white until you get to the inner Holy of Holies, when you come through that gate. Why? Because Jesus Christ alone is the only way in, and white speaks of his righteousness. I mean, we could go on and on and on, but Christ is in all three of those divisions.